This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a conversation on confronting Islamophobia. Starting us off this afternoon, statistics from longtermcare.gov show 70% of people turning 65 can expect to use some form of long-term care in their lifetime. And more than a third of people receiving long-term care services are 64 and younger due to disabilities, accidents, or chronic health conditions. However, long-term care can be expensive. Here to discuss planning and paying for the possible long-term care needs for you or a loved one are Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President for Communications Lori Petrie and Horan Vice President and Registered Representative Greg Hornschmeyer. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Lori and Greg, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thanks
for having us.
Lori, what is long-term care when we talk about that?
Long-term care is often thought of as a place, a nursing home, but it's not a place. It's a type of care for someone who has a chronic condition or disease, and they need services, either skilled medical services or unskilled, like Meals on Wheels and home health, and for a certain period of time. It may be weeks. It may be years.
And how long does long-term care usually last? It's not always a permanent situation, but what's typical?
Hey, what we're seeing, great question, Mark. What we're seeing in the insurance industry, a lot of long-term care benefits, we're seeing nursing home stays usually around 3 to 3.1 years is how long someone would possibly need benefits.
Lori, how big of a need is there for long-term care services?
Well, it's
especially as the baby boomers are aging.
Correct. Most of us, and I'm a boomer myself, won't need care until we're in our 80s. That's when it most starts for most people. And as you said at the beginning of the program, Mark, about 70% of us will need some form of care while we're alive. And so the need is very great, especially if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, for example. You almost virtually will need some amount of long-term care. Other conditions that can lead to lack of mobility, a lot of obesity, or if you're a smoker, or if you've had other health conditions that are chronic, I would say it's virtually 100% that you'll need care before you die.
Now, who's most likely to find themselves in need of long-term care? Men, women?
Well, women, because we live longer.
Okay.
It's simply because we live longer. But as you said, I mean, most people will need it. It is the unplanned for downside, if you will, of living a long life. We used to die of things that now, these days, we don't die of. So in all likelihood, you're going to live a lot longer than you perhaps planned or thought. And the quality of that life is what is partially determined by long-term care.
One stat that I just to layer on top of what you just said, I think it's very interesting. They predict by the year 2050, there'll be nearly 20 million Americans age 85 or older. So I think to Lori's point about the longevity risk, people are living much longer. At some point, whether it's a cognitive impairment or a physical disability, someone's going to need care.
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing.
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing, correct.
Yeah. What are the activities of daily living? That's
correct.
Something that's a measurement of whether you need long-term care or not. Can you kind of go through that?
Sure.
And explain
so there's
that?
There's six of them. Okay. Most insurance contracts require that at least, or the government requires at least have five of the six to be a qualified long-term care policy. Those six ADLs are eating, dressing, bathing, transferring, which relates to mobility, continence, and toileting. What we find, what insurance industry experts would tell you, is the number one ADL is bathing. Number two would be dressing. So if you think about the mobility issue, you think about your loved one, a parent, getting in and out of the bathtub, that's where risk can happen. They slip and fall. They break a hip. That's where we see when we do review of long-term care insurance is to make sure that the bathing, which most of the times is included in their long-term care policy.
You know, I should mention that Council on Aging administers a number of programs of in-home care for people, and we also use those ADLs, those activities of daily living. So you have to have an in-home assessment. Someone from Council on Aging comes out to your home and measures, uses a form for just those things that Greg was describing. There's also something called IADLs, which means instrumental activities of daily living, also things that are less essential, but do you drive? Can you handle your personal paperwork? Can you talk on the phone? Can you manage your medications? Things that also would have an impact on whether someone can stay at home or not.
I think that's a great point. When insurance companies are actually doing interviews with prospective clients to obtain long-term care coverage, they're looking at those IADLs because, and it's the cognitive, they're worried about the cognitive impairment. Do they remember when their medication should be taken? Can they make judgment when they're driving? Things of that nature. So I think that's a very important element to look at.
Far more people have that than the ADLs.
How expensive is long-term care? How expensive can the services be?
Very.
Very.
Yeah. So I'll just throw some figures, and Greg, I'm sure, can do some. But so if you need a home health aide, you're going to pay about $20 or $25 an hour. If you're going to an assisted living facility, I would say between $36,000 and $40,000 a year. And if you're in a nursing home, you can pay upwards of $100,000 a year, especially for a private room. Now, those would all be your private pay options, but that's about it. And there's not that many options for paying for those.
I think you're spot on. I just pulled some data yesterday from Genworth, who's a big long-term care provider. They do a survey every year of long-term care cost, and they break it down by region, even down by city. And for Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, which was a nine county area, just to throw out some stats to what Laurie had mentioned, they had the median for an assisted living facility to be at $4,100 a month, so right around your $40,000 to $50,000 a year cost. A nursing home for a private room to be around $267 per day. And for a semi-private room, $230 a day. So the figures that Laurie just showed out are very typical. I would tell you if you're on either coast in the United States, it's much more expensive. You see it a little bit probably less expensive down in the South.
And, Greg, you were saying the average is three years that most people
Correct.
Are in a long-term care setting. So multiply everything out by
That's exactly right.
3 years. So, Laurie, you're right. Very expensive.
Yeah. And a lot of people will go into a facility these days for rehab. So they'll come out of the hospital after having surgery or maybe a fall. And then they're in to the rehab for maybe 6 months or less. And then they're going home. That is a typical pattern. And the older that someone gets and the more frail they are, the more we see that kind of cycle around. And each time it's harder and harder for the person and their caregivers. Nursing home, rehab, hospital, rehab, home, hospital, rehab, home, into this kind of vicious cycle.
Well, what kind of impact does this have on say, an unpaid caregiver, someone who's a family member or a friend?
It's very difficult because I often say it's harder to take care of an older parent than for children because of just as I was describing, it's up and down, the roller coaster. It's not predictable from day to day the way it is with a child. Mom may be in a hospital today or at home doing fine today, and then tomorrow she's in the hospital, and then you're on that roller coaster I was just describing.
Is there a trend towards people staying at home and providing long-term care or versus going into a facility?
Oh, yes. Most people will stay in their home for as long as possible. That is the least expensive setting, and that's where most people want to be. So the nursing home, I think, primarily these days is for someone at the end of life and for rehab.
How well do you think people are preparing for this? Oh, dear.
They're not. They're not. It's... I compare it to something like planning for college. People plan for college education. They save money for it. They think about it. But that's a positive factor. People, as we've said, don't think that they're going to need long-term care. They don't want to. So they consequently do not plan for it. And since you're going to need it, the unfortunate thing is that you're ending up having to deal with it in a crisis mode, and then you cannot have as many options as you would if you had planned.
And I think a lot of people think that the government is going to take care of it. To Laurie's point, I think the planning is, hey, I'm paying into Medicare or in Social Security. If I have a long-term care event, older at age, that's what those programs are set up for. In reality, they're not. Medicaid is obviously a spend-down program. Very, very difficult to navigate those waters to get eligible for Medicaid. Medicare will only pay after a qualified hospital stay of 3 days. They'll pay the first 20 days, the Medicare will. Days 21 through 100, there's a deductible, a copayment by the insured, which is $161 for 2016. After 100 days, zero is paid. So you think about 100 days is a little over 3 months, right? There's not a lot of benefit there, but a lot of people don't want to plan for it. In reality, they think, hey, I'm paying into the system, Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security, one of those programs will take care of me.
Well, and on Medicare, don't you have to go straight from the hospital into
correct.
The long-term care setting? There can be no gap.
That's correct.
You're going to have so much of a gap.
And it's for skilled care only, and a lot of the things that we run into out there, it might be custodial care, intermediate care. So maybe someone doesn't need that full skilled care, but that's what they need to qualify for the Medicare payment.
And as far as Medicaid, you talked about spend down. Explain what that is.
So basically, Medicaid is set up for the indigent. So if someone can't afford nursing home care, there's rules and regulations that are state-based, but essentially you can only keep very, very limited amount of assets, a house, perhaps a car. If you're still married, the spouse can stay in the home. They'll split the assets. But there's a look-back period. So the look-back period's 5 years. So in order for me to qualify for Medicaid—
I can't give stuff away to my kids in order to qualify for Medicaid.
That's exactly right. Okay. They'll look back. So in the scheme of things, people would think, okay, well, I have a lot of liquid assets, or I have these stocks over here, or these other assets. I'm going to have to gift those to my kids because I feel like I'm going to go into a nursing home tomorrow or next year or 2 years from now. So it's not what we would consider a wise way to plan for long-term care because, A, you don't know when you're going to need it. B, Medicaid options are very limited as far as facilities that you can participate in as well.
You know, there are things that people can do now to plan for long-term care. And one of the most important, I think, that everyone should do is their advance directives. Now, people think of that as, you know, end-of-life care. But if you want any say in what treatments or therapies you have, if you have a terminal illness, or to have a healthcare proxy for any of us who may be unable to make a decision, that is an important part of long-term care planning. And anybody can do it. It's relatively easy. There's forms online, or you can do it through an attorney. We all need these documents, and there is certainly a lot of movements underway to get more Americans to have advance directives.
And the advantage of these is that you are letting people know what you want done, so your loved
correct.
Ones don't have to make these decisions for you.
Correct.
Okay.
And really, I mean, if you're incapacitated without a healthcare proxy, your relatives cannot make any decisions, and a lot of people are left in that situation.
That's really great advice, and I think what we see going on, I guess is a good thing, is our population grows older. Mark, you had mentioned in the beginning that people start taking care of their own parents, grandparents potentially. I think we see how difficult that is to go through. So we do see more people, the younger baby boom generation, people behind us that are actually planning more because they don't want to go through these same events that they hate to see their parents go through.
We will continue our conversation about long-term care, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about long-term care with Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President for Communications Lori Petrie and Horan Vice President and Registered Representative Greg Hornschmeyer. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Greg, Lori, how far in advance should people start thinking about this? I guess it's don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till you're in your 60s when you start thinking about this.
Well, I think when you're in your 40s is not too early. You know, as Greg can say, if you wanted to buy long-term care insurance, and we haven't really talked about that, it is less expensive, the premiums, the younger you are when you buy it. Of course, then you're paying longer. But many people in their 40s and 50s also have aging parents that they need to help plan for. But the advance directives point that I made, that can be done now. Many people in their 50s and 60s start to look at their home and say, I want to stay here, but I'm going to plan now while I'm still working and can pay for it some certain modifications. I'm going to put grab bars in my bathroom. I'm going to do other things to modify this home so that should I become less mobile, I'll be able to stay in it. So I think 40s is not too young.
So it sounds like you're saying take a step-by-step approach, too,
yeah.
As opposed to trying to do everything at once.
Yes, absolutely. And because there's not going to be a silver bullet. Even, you know, with aid, you're going to have to cobble a lot of things together. Perhaps you can pay some privately. Perhaps you have an insurance policy. There's going to be family caregivers. There's going to be home modifications. It's not going to be just one easy answer. And all coordinating all of that can take some planning and doing.
I would add to the planning early, and you hit the nail right on the head with costs being low from an insurance perspective. There are different plans out there available today, too, that aren't the traditional long-term care. For those young folks that, hey, have kids, their priority is probably life insurance because they're worried about an event that happened to them that might cause liquidation or income problems for their family. There's life insurance policy plans out there today that actually have a long-term care bucket, if you will, of money that's attached to the life insurance. So they could really solve two issues under one policy at a younger age. So we think those are very attractive to that 35 to 45 to 50-year-old age group. It's much earlier, much better to start early, right? Because the age and the cost would be a lot less.
So that works. Explain exactly how those work. They're both life insurance and they're long-term
care. Yeah, they're called hybrid plans. So basically what the insurance companies are offering is a death benefit, a life insurance policy, if you will, for the insured. So if they were to die, the benefit would be paid to their family in the form of a death benefit, like it's a traditional life insurance policy. But they also have a long-term care rider that's added onto the policy. Mm. It usually is a factor of what the death benefit is. So I buy a $250,000 life insurance policy, I might have a long-term care bucket that's two times that face amount. So a bucket of money for $500,000 for long-term care expenses. If I buy that when I'm 35 or 40 or 45, a lot less expensive than if I wait till 65 or 70. Once my kids are gone, I potentially don't need the life insurance as much anymore. But now I have this long-term care bucket of money that can stay with me for the rest of my life.
How tough is it to obtain just the traditional long-term care policy these days? I mean, I know there was a point where they were readily available. A lot of companies were offering them, but hasn't it become more difficult?
That's great. Quite very restrictive right now. Many companies have decided to leave the market. Kind of about what we were talking initially discussed earlier here today was people are living longer. Therefore, insurance companies are paying out benefits that they thought they maybe perhaps would not pay out because people would not survive that long. So insurance companies are paying a lot more out in benefits than they initially anticipated. And with the low interest rate environment that we're in right now, insurance companies are squeezed for profit, so they're trying to get the most profitable business they can write. Long-term care for some of these companies wasn't that business. So you saw a lot of companies exit the market. There's still a handful of quality insurance companies out there that offer it, but it is much more difficult to find.
513-419-7100 to join us. Let's talk with Sandra in Loveland. Hi, Sandra.
Hi there. Yeah, we've been thinking that maybe we should just putting aside, work with a lawyer and have a fund and put away a certain amount that we could pull on of our own money in case, because I think staying in the home is something most people really would prefer to do if they can do that. And I don't know if that's wise since it's so difficult to really get the long-term care insurance that you want. I mean, is that an option, an
self-funding
option?
Absolutely. Self-funding is an option. The drawback, a couple of things that you have to consider with self-funding is your age today and what you could get on that return on your money. Because as we talked about earlier, the actual cost for nursing home can be upwards over $100,000 a year. So you'd have to have a pretty substantial investment to set aside each year to cover that $100,000. It is an option. I would advise you to perhaps work with a financial planner, look at what you could set aside each year and what you would need to return on that side pot of money to pay for long-term care expenses versus buying insurance.
Sandra, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Liz in Westchester. Hi, Liz.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I am an RN, and I've also assisted in kind of overseeing some home care situations where, I provide some care but also need, family needs some outside help through agencies. And what we've experienced, at least over a number of years now in different cases, what I've experienced is that these different agencies have different qualifications for the individuals who come into the homes, and some of the individuals who do come with good heart, want to do good care. They have no training. How can families who want to get care providers through agencies, what are some things they should know before they go to a certain agency? Like, what kind of training is the person going to have prior to coming? That's my question. So that the families out there who do need to get help can get quality help. That's my question.
Okay, thanks, Liz.
I think the first thing, it's a really good question, and I think that the first thing you need to look at is what is the level of care needed. So if the person you're taking care of needs some medical-type therapies, you're going to want to have a home health aide who has a nurse's training or what's called STNA, a state-tested nursing assistant-type training. If you're looking for just custodial care, like helping with a bath or housekeeping, you're correct. But there is some training, and it is, to a certain extent, standardized. You're also going to want to look at the background checks that are required and how well the organization stays abreast of those and has background checked at its employees.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you would like to join the conversation. So, Lori, give us, we've been talking about different things people should be considering. Can you kind of give us like a list? Where would you start and what would you be doing at this point as you start planning for your long-term care needs?
Well, I have to mention, I think number one is lifestyle. So, you know, if you are in your 40s and 50s, what can I do to minimize my chances of long-term care? And that means that if I have a chronic condition, I know what lifestyle changes I may need to make, like diabetes, or if I'm, you know, way overweight, that's going to affect my mobility. So if you can make lifestyle changes, make them. I would make that as number one. Number two, the advanced directives that I talked about. Get those done, your living will, your power of attorney. And number three, I would say family conversations. Start talking about these things now with your, among each other and with your loved ones. If mom and dad are planning to stay in their home, or if you're planning to stay in your home, how is that going to happen? How are we going to pay for it? So we've been talking about today, who's going to provide the care? Are you just going to say I'm on the kids plan, but you've never talked to your kids about it? You know, so have those conversations. I also think that people need to learn and research, and that's some of what you're doing today by listening to this program, by listening to Greg and me and Mark, learning what some of the options are. Council on Aging has a number of programs. You can contact us about the eligibility for those. So take the time to do those things. I've also mentioned modifying your home. If you want to stay there and it looks like you might need some home modification, do I need a stair lift, bathtub cutout, grab bars, get that done. Those are all some things that people can do now. Look into long-term care insurance, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Greg, what were some things you would suggest? Where would you start on your list?
Well, I think Lori hit on a top level what you should be doing. I would just tell you it's never too early to start would be my recommendation, just to take a look at, especially folks today have already probably taken care of a grandparent or parent that's had a long-term care issue. Don't think you can't afford something, or, you know, whether it's going through the legal profession to make sure your health care power of attorney and those documents are set up, or if you need to look at the insurance. The market is evolving as we speak, and I would encourage people to just take a look to know what's out there. Maybe you don't buy it today, but you at least know what the cost is and what you're up against versus waiting until you're too old or perhaps your health changes and you couldn't qualify for long-term care insurance.
We're talking about long-term care issues with Lori Petrie and also Greg Hornschmeyer. 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. An email question that we got in was, how good an idea is it to think about using a reverse mortgage for funding long-term care needs?
I think reverse mortgages are a little bit tricky. I would get some advice first from an impartial sort, such as the Ohio Department of Insurance, or perhaps Horan can help you with that as well. But before you look into buying, getting with a mortgage broker or something, because they can be a little bit tricky.
I would agree with that. I think that's it's worth an evaluation because they are popular. You can't turn the TV on without seeing a reverse mortgage commercial, but they are very complicated and can be very complicated. So make sure you do your due diligence when researching that opportunity.
And that, lots of details about long-term care, and we will have a future show where we go more into the technical points surrounding long-term care. But Lori, final thoughts on this?
Well, I think that I hope that we've persuaded people. I'd like to put a positive spin on things. People think of this in a negative way, but you're really giving a gift to yourself and to your loved ones by planning ahead. There are so many people out there who are caring for aging parents, and they sure wish that there had been more planning and discussions done. So it's a gift to yourself, peace of mind, and a gift to your loved ones to plan for this care.
This is Cincinnati Edition, and we'd like to say thank you to Richard Magurno for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. And we'd also like to say thank you to Lori and Greg for being here this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having us.
Greatly appreciate you joining us. Council on Aging of Southwestern Ohio Vice President for Communications Lori Petrie and Horan Vice President and Registered Representative Greg Hornschmeyer. After the break, we'll take a look at a National Underground Railroad Freedom Center conference that's coming up this week on Confronting Islamophobia. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.